Hello everyone, welcome back to the Outgroup podcast. I'm your host Luke Sonogy, the other host as always, Harry Higginson. How are you, Harry?
Yeah, I'm alright, how are you?
I'm good, big day today, because we're going to be doing our top 10 album of the year lists.
It's a very big day, I'm very excited. I've always wanted to do one of these, because like every year on Instagram I always like very tentatively, knowing that no one gives a shit, post a little post of the albums that I liked. And now I've got an actual platform. Now you've got to listen, fuckers. So here we are. Do you want me to go first?
I'll just explain what we're doing. What we're doing is we're going to do 10 albums each, our 10 favourite albums of the year, culminating in our album of the year, which we actually guessed each other's.
A few weeks ago, because
it was really easy to guess. We got them one go, but we don't know the others that we've put on this list, so it should be interesting for us as well as you, hopefully. Then we've got some honourable mentions that didn't make the list because there's only 10 spaces and we listened to more than 10 albums, and then a few EPs as well worth mentioning. So yeah, Harry, you go for it.
Cool, nice. So my number 10 is a slightly rogue one. I mean, it's both rogue and not rogue, because it's not very underground at all. It's This Is Why by Paramore, which came out on Atlantic Records. This record ruled my rotation at the beginning of the year. And it's kind of like, it was a massive comeback record for Paramore, who were a band who started off doing pop punk, shifted into kind of 80s throwback pop rock on their self-titled record and After Laughter, and this new one has like a really natural development going into like new wave and 80s and post-punk aesthetics that kind of really, they've taken it into like a colder and harsher and more abrasive direction. I mean, it's Paramore, it's not like abrasive, but it's like, it's punchy, it's entertaining. Tracks like This Is Why, The News and You First have got like a real kick to them. Like a bit of Piss and Vinegar, which I've not heard from Paramore in about 10 years. And then the back end of the album has some amazing, like, slightly spacier, more emotional, complex, delicate and layered tracks like Liar and Crave. I just think it's really good. It also really reminded me of Bloc Party's Silent Alarm, which is like an absolute classic of UK, like, indie rock and post-punk from the mid-2000s. It's an incredible album. And to compare anything to Silent Alarm is a massive compliment. So yeah, Paramore's This Is Why, very good album. What's your number 10, Luke?
Well, my number 10, I know that you know I like this album, but it might surprise you that it's even made my top 10. But my first album I want to talk about today is the album A New Tomorrow by a band called Zulu on Flatspot Records.
Good record, good band.
Self-described black power violence band from the States. Part musical album, part spoken word storytelling, part political statement. Listening to it, it feels like more of an experience than like a traditional album because of all the different elements it brings in. You can't really pick standout tracks because you kind of have to listen to the whole thing as like a whole piece of work, in my opinion. But there's some really cool choices, like Shine Eternally halfway through. There's just this really like chill, instrumental, little bop. And go listen to it.
I controversially was not a massive fan of the album, not because of the bits where it divulges from hardcore. I just thought it could have been a little bit more interesting in the way that it did Heaviness. The bits, the spoken word and the chiller bits have really grown on me. It's a really good record. Cool pick. I'm glad you enjoyed that record. My number 9 is kind of slightly similar stylistically in kinds of the beats that it hits. Change the Way You Think About Pain by Incendiary, which came out on Closed Casket Activities. I think Incendiary are the standout kind of overtly political hardcore metalcore band who are about at the moment. It's kind of harsher and more metallic on this record than it's ever been. I think there's a really easy vocal comparison to make between Brendan Garone and someone like Zach De La Rocha, with kind of a raspy, aggressive, shouted, almost rapping style, but I think it undersells what Incendiary's kind of compositions are like. They are like proper metallic hardcore, lots of strained chords going into like absolute dagger breakdowns. I think it's a really good follow up on their last record, 1,000 Miles Stare from 2017. It's even more explicit with its political messaging, and considering this thing came out way before everything that's going on in Palestine, I think some tracks like Host Parasite and Echo of Nothing, which are respectively about displacement of populations through war and climate disaster, and then the plight of refugees and struggling to find safe places to stay. And when I spoke to these guys, I interviewed them earlier in the year, and they spoke about how it was specifically about kind of inspired by what the UK was doing with refugees and how awfully it was treating refugees. It's an incredibly important record. It's also really heavy, really aggressive, really good fun. Yeah, go listen to Incendiary. Good record.
Is that album Purple?
It is the Purple one, yeah.
Nice. I always like Purple albums. I mean, I haven't listened to it, but I just like albums that are purple.
Yeah, if you want to give a track a spin, I would recommend Echo of Nothing or Host Parasite, because okay. even if you're not down to clown with the style specifically, like the lyrics of those songs are so good.
I follow Close Casket on social media, so I'm aware of the album.
Nice. Cool. What's your number nine?
My number nine, Here and Now, This is Living Proof by Drain on Epitaph.
Yes.
Really good crossover thrash / hardcore album from Santa Cruz, California, which they'll tell you a lot. I've been standing the band since lockdown one, when the album, just before the album California Cursed came out. Overall, I think I prefer this album, even though that one's got my favourite Drain songs on it, but I feel like the start of that album is really strong, and then I kind of got bored of it after like Army of One.
Yeah.
Until like California Cursed the song at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But like this one, I feel like is consistently the same quality, high quality, the whole way through.
Absolutely.
It's very listenable. It's a very listenable album. You can just put it basically anytime you want if you have like a spare 25 minutes. It's so short.
It's got a nice bit of stylistic variation because it's got the cover of the Descendants song, which adds like kind of a skate punky, pop punky kind of song.
It's got Intermission.
And it's got Intermission, which is one of my favorite riffs of the year.
Oh, Drain, fuck this shit up.
Yeah, the less said about Intermission, the better. If you haven't listened to Drain, go listen to Intermission, because that thing will rip you a new one. Great band. Funnily enough, that record didn't make my list, so it's good that we've not repeated anything so far, which is really good.
I wonder if we will. We might not.
We might not, actually. We might not. There's one record which I think might crop up on both, but okay. I'm not sure. My pick for number eight is Death Is Nothing To Us by Fiddlehead, which came out on Run For Cover. This won't be a repeat. Fiddlehead are probably one of the most important emotional hardcore kind of alternative rock emo bands about at the moment. I think this record is absolutely proof of why. They're kind of in that vein of Old Basement, Have Heart, that kind of noisy, aggressive, but like very emotional, hardcore inspired rock music. It kind of explores loads of themes of death and coping with mortality that kind of underscored all of Fiddlehead's discography. But because it maintains a really consistent focus on that as the theme of the record, kind of the concept, it's some of their most absolutely powerful songwriting to date, from the first moments of the like hyper aggressive death life through to the like anthemic closer Going to Die. It kind of never lets up on that emotional honesty and rawness. It's full of crunchy and catchy riffs and some really great barked melodic vocals that kind of cut through the mix. Pat Flynn, I mentioned Have Heart. Pat Flynn is the vocalist of Have Heart, and he's not skipped a beat since releasing some of the most important hardcore music of the kind of 2000s. The themes of like staving off depression and like resisting the urge to kind of just get by until you die that plays out throughout the record was incredibly meaningful to me through this year. I loved it. I think it's fantastic. And I'm seeing them in February, supported by another band who are coming up on my list. So yeah, absolutely love this Fiddlehead record.
I haven't heard of that one. I'll have to Give it a peep. Actually, I'll tell you what, I'll listen to your whole top 10, Iggy.
I will similarly listen to your whole top 10. I think there are some records that we'll already have listened to on both of ours, but yeah.
Yeah.
What's your number eight?
It's not this. This isn't the one. This isn't the repeat, but I think I just scrolled down. I'm not sure if there is going to be a repeat. I think I know which one it could be, and if it turns out to be a repeat, I will let you know. But anyway, my number eight is a split album called Star Path by band Dream Unending and Worm, released on 20 Bucks Spin. First half by Dream Unending, dreamy, psychedelic, doom kind of thing. Second half, synthy, doomy, black metal type thing from Worm. Worm have been one of my favourite bands for the past few years. Their album Foreverglade was my top album of the year in 2021. Honestly, I prefer that sound to their current sound. But I mean, every record by Worm sounds a bit different. They're always changing what they do, so you can't really complain because it's always good in its own way. Obviously, I prefer the Death Doom, Florida, swampy sound to this. But I mean, this is cool too. I'm not going to complain. Adding modern guitar hero Phil Tugas to your band is always a good move because he's sick at shredding and all sorts. Dreamer Ending, I've heard their older records a couple of times a while ago when they came out. I never really like properly got into them, but after this record, I get it. I get why they're popular.
Nice.
I'm gonna go back and revisit their older stuff now after being converted because yeah, they do slap.
Yeah, it's a really good record. I really like Dream Unending's record before this one. I really enjoyed that. I need to give the Worm and Dream Unending record a little bit more of a spin.
I actually think I preferred the Dream Unending side, even though in the past I've much preferred Worm.
Yeah, they've got a really cool, like, hazy, sludgy, doomy thing going on. Yeah. My number seven, I think this might be the repeat. It is Path to Righteousness by the UK's very own Grove Street, that came out on UNFD. This is one of the most pit-ready crossover thrash / hardcore records I've heard this year. Pest Control are a very close second, but I think Grove Street won out on this for just being a fantastic comeback record after a couple of years off with some amazing riffs. This is not an intelligent album. It's not like a massively profound album. It's got some interesting like lyrical themes on it, but it, most importantly, it's gang vocals, meaty breakdowns, massive riffs, and actually some really creative drumming that I think puts a lot of bog standard crossover thrash bands to shame. I think drums can really make a record like this work, and they do here. It's really good to see Grove Street build on the promise of the stuff they released in the 2010s and add in some more of like that more organic feeling, rawer 80s crossover stuff to their already kind of thrashy hardcore thing that they were doing before. A huge one for any fans of Power Trip or Misery. The final track, Cycle of Grief, is one of the best riffs of the year. That thing makes me want to do financial crimes. I love it. Good record, good band, Grove Street.
Yeah, I'm just going to do that now because you said a lot about it. I had one album in between, but there's basically nothing in it between these two, so I'm just going to do it now. That was the repeat, and that's what I thought would be the repeat.
Yeah.
It's my favourite like hardcore adjacent record this year, which I've been listening to a lot more hardcore this year compared to other years. Listened to it a load since it came out. Again, I had in my notes that it was probably the closest thing to a UK Power Trip. My standout tracks are Ulterior Motives, Lessons of the Past, and the title track. They actually played a cover of Executioner's Tax when I saw them live, which was cool.
I reckon they'd kill that as well. Yeah.
But yeah, we like Grove Street at the Outgroup podcast. Yeah.
We do. We also love I fucking love one of my favourite bits. I think it's on Lessons of the Past with the Don't Push Me Because I'm Close to the Edge reference to Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. It's such a corny fucking little hip-hop reference on a song that's kind of about police brutality, but it's also so good and so catchy, and it's that, like, tongue-in-cheek attitude that I'm just like, give me that. That makes, like, hardcore so fun to listen to. Nice. Cool. Do you want to do your number six? or your number seven?
Well, it's your turn because you went first. Okay. So,
yeah, my number six is not a rock or metal album, although it has a lot of rock and metal on it. It is the stupidest record that has come out this year. It is 10,000 Gex by 100 Gex, which came out on Dog Show Records. It is the follow-up to 100 Gex's debut album, 1,000 Gex. And if you're confused about how many Gex there are, I think that's the point. It kind of solidified what 100 Gex, like, mission statement is, for me, at least as, like, my interpretation of it, which is, like, taking the technically worst or most out-of-favour, easy-to-hate genres and sounds about, and then making something stupidly catchy, ridiculous, completely not taking itself too seriously out of it, but like forcing you to enjoy a genre of music that you would otherwise hate. This record has like disgusting oversaturated pop punk songs on it. It's got two of the dumbest ska songs you will ever hear in your life in Frog on the Floor and I Got My Tooth Removed. And it's still got some of that old, like, classic 100 Gex hyperpop sound on it. It's so dumb. It doesn't bear repeating how dumb this record is, and I love it. It just doesn't take itself seriously at all. It's massively polarizing. I think a lot of people are like, there's no substance here. It doesn't take itself seriously enough to be good. And I think there was a Daily Telegraph album which was like, this is the worst thing I've ever heard. And I'm like, yeah, good. It's meant to piss off people who try and take it seriously. It also contains some of the heaviest, like, nu metal adjacent riffs I've heard this year. The closing riff to Billy Knows Jamie is absolutely head-crushing. It goes toe-to-toe with any riff you have heard this year. It's ridiculous. I'm not fucking about. Just go listen to it. You might not like it, but there will be something on this record that you enjoy. It's really stupid. I love it.
Why was the frog on the floor?
He was at a party, but he doesn't know what people think about, so he's just on the floor. And the chorus is, frog on the floor, where did he come from? Frog on the floor, where will he go? It's one of the best records of the year, man. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, I'll see about that.
What's your number six?
My number six is an album called Ontological Mysterium by a band called Horrendous, released on Season of Mist. Do you wish Death were still going?
Yeah.
Me too. Unlucky, but at least we have Horrendous. Progressive death metal from the States. Lots of Shouldina-esque leads.
Nice.
They're a really good band. I mean, this is their fifth album. Their last, like, probably four albums before Slap.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
There's something different about this one is there's lots more unexpected twists and turns in their previous material. There's even some clean vocals this time.
Sick.
Which I don't think they've done before. They might have done, I can't remember, but I don't think they have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have much to say about this one apart from that it slaps. But yeah, if you like death metal with a progressive tinge and some unconventional stylistic choices, then definitely check it out.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was Decibel's album of the year. It's someone's album of the year, some like major metal publication.
I think it was as well. Yeah.
It's up there for me. My stand-up tracks are Chrysopoeia and the title track.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, my number five is a more serious album than my number six. And is similarly in the extreme vein, doing something slightly experimental, but from quite a different angle. It's We're Still Here by Hers Collective, which came out on Get Better Records. I think Hers Collective are probably the most important extreme artist out there, purely for the politics and the way they're going about what they're doing. They are, as it says on the tin, a collective. They have released 100 song long records in the past, which are like just getting loads of people in to make loads of different kinds of heavy music. Their sound kind of ranges from grindcore to power violence to like mathcore and old school metalcore and so much more as well. The feature list for this record goes on forever, and it is an enormous collaborative project, but it keeps a laser focus on being claustrophobic, aggressive, heavy, with a slight like sense of gallows humour as well, because Hers Collective's We're Still Here is about queer survival. A lot of other stuff, but it's about queer survival and queer joy, and I think it's gorgeous. it takes a lot of interesting left turns as well. Like, there's these amazing layered choral vocals on Unicorn Tapestry Woven in Fire, or like this amazing cello solo on Bringing Light and Replenishments, which I think is the closing track. It's really hard to take in all at once. It's a really multi-layered record. But to give some context on how stacked this record is and the kind of sounds that are on here, I'm going to give some of the artists that feature. Escuela Grind, Soul Glow, Melt Banana, Thou, Full of Hell, The Body, Touche Amore, and Frank Iero of My Chemical Romance. And that's just a few of them that I immediately recognised and jumped out. It's kind of a monument to something bigger than itself. It's overtly political and queer and anti-capitalist and anti-cop and anti-landlord. It's massive and brilliant, and it will batter your fucking head in if you like extreme music and you care about queer people. Firstly, you're in the right place with this podcast. Secondly, go listen to Hers Collective.
I'm pretty sure I listened to that one, but I don't know why I just didn't listen to it again. I'm not sure why.
Do you know what? It didn't land with me the first couple of times I listened to it. And when I was coming to do this list, I gave a listen to basically every record that I'd enjoyed this year. And it was like, I overlooked this. This is really good. Which is why it's landed at number 5, which is fucking high up.
Fair. I don't think I listened to much grind this year, actually. Well, actually, I did, because one of my most streamed artists, according to streaming services, was Napalm Death. But,
nice.
I didn't really listen to much new grind. I can't really think of any grind albums I listened to that came out this year. Well, there are probably a few, but like, I can't remember them off the top of my head.
I listened to a couple. The new Scalp record was really good. And the there was an EP that has not made it into my EPs list.
No Talking Ingrown. About It. Oh,
the new Ingrown record is
Breaking
is really
the
good.
Rules. Breaking the rules.
It doesn't come up in my EP list. I said it because it doesn't come up. But yeah. Anyway, what was your number 5, Luke?
Only supposed to be talking about albums that are on the list today.
Oh, but break it. Oh, I'm sorry, Luke. I'm sorry. Don't fire me from the podcast.
Okay. My next album is the album In Times New Roman by Queens of the Stone Age.
Nice.
Released by Matador. We kind of had to be on it, really. They're the first band I ever stand, and they're still making good albums. Mm-hmm. A previous album, Villains, is my clear least favourite of their catalogue, even though I still do quite like some of the songs on that album. Some of the songs on that album are like some of Queen's best, but as a whole, not actually that, not really like as keen compared to all the other albums they've released. So I thought maybe this album would be kind of similar, but it's not. It's like, I really like this album. Josh Homme sounds better than ever, somehow.
Mm-hmm.
His voice is just improving. With age.
Aging like a fine wine.
Yep. I saw them twice this year, which was made me happy. The new song sounded great live. They fit in really well with their older tracks, which obviously I've been listening to since I was little, or like 14 at least. Favourite tracks on the album, probably Carnivoria, Negative Space and Obscenery. But to be fair, all of them, bar maybe one of the songs, I really like. I think Stand Up alongside the rest of their catalogue, which I've listened to many, many, many times. So yeah.
Cool. Yeah, it's nice to see like an older band cropping up on this list. I definitely have a recency bias where I'm always like, my new favourite thing is the new shiny thing. So I'm crap at listening to older bands that have been around for longer. But I listened to that Queens of the Stone Age record, and it's good. My number 4 is something I don't know whether I've heard anything like it before. It's Post American by the band MS Paint, which came out on Convulse Records. The backstory for Convulse was a bunch of guys who kind of existed in the hardcore scene, wanted to make a band without guitars, but all of them played guitar, and they also didn't want it to be hardcore. And the product is this weird, like, 90s... retro futurist blend of like hip hop and electronic music and punk, and it's a seamless, brilliant, entirely new thing. I nothing else in this year sounded like it. The one criticism of this record is it can be a little bit one note, but the note that it hits is amazing. it's kind of got these buzzing and peppy synths with heavily distorted bass lines underneath it, and then this half shouted, half rapped vocals laying over the top, kind of driven on by like really persistent, aggressive, peppy drums. It's also got hooks for days, man. The choruses of songs like Delete It and Titan of Hope have been stuck in my head all year, but it's also got some really poignant political messaging on it as well, like the repeated questioning of what purpose the cages serve on kind of the prison abolitionist track S3. It's also got a feature from Solgo, which is really good, and a feature from another band that I've really loved this year, Military Gun. So it's a great punk record. It brings together some really creative influences, and I have not been able to stop thinking about this record. The album art looks like some kind of like futuristic scholastic fucking 1990s future comic thing as well. It's great. I love it.
Oh, it wasn't made on MS Paint.
No, it wasn't.
Oh,
would have been cool if it was, though.
It would have been on brand if it was.
What's your number four, Luke?
My number four is Threads of Unknowing by Avoid Ceremony, released on 20 Bucks Spin. It's definitely the least accessible album on this list, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like what you would hear if you went to a metal gig on a faraway planet. There's somewhat of a supergroup, international members coming from bands such as Cathalis, Ascended Dead, and Stargazer. Got some sick fretless bass from my boy Damon Good. Always like to hear that. Fretless bass is always a nice thing to have on a album.
It is very nice.
I've been listening to them since their last album, which was their first album. I thought it was all right, but it didn't really stick with me. This one sure did, because I've heard it so many times. Again, they've added Phil Tugas to their band, which I said before is always a bonus. If you want him in your band if you've got a band. Yeah, standout tracks, Writhing in the Facade of Time, and 11 Minute Closer, Forlorn Portrait. There's so much on this album, like, you can listen to it again and again and again, and there's always other bits that you've didn't notice before, because there's just so much. And it's not very long, it's not like long either, it's like 35 minutes-ish, I think. So you can just keep putting it on, and it's some good, wriggly death metal. The riffs are so wriggly.
Wriggly riffs.
There's loads more wriggly riffs on my list to talk about, but we'll get to that when we get to that. What's your next one?
My number three is Concrete Cowboys by Buggin on Flatspot Records. This is my favourite hardcore record of the year. Concrete Cowboys slaps. That's it. It's not a massively profound or innovative record. It just does all of the fundamentals of hardcore so well. The guitar tone has so much bite. The vocal performances are vicious and funny and sarcastic and charismatic. It balances melody with massive riffs and massive grooves. Every track on this album feels like it's designed to turn a venue into an absolute nightmare. It's so much fun. It's really reminiscent of bands like Turnstile and Backtrack. But it's got like a really good sense of fun across the whole thing, which is what makes hardcore records work for me, really. When this thing hits, it hits. The riff on Hard to Kill is one of the most infectious of the year. Poser Bulldozer and All Eyes on You are some of the catchiest, most memorable breakdowns and breakdown shouts that you will hear on any hardcore record this year. And it doesn't just stick to that. It does more direct, like, D-beat punk on Kick Rocks, and it does, like, skate punk on Youth, and it all fits perfectly into Buggin' style. But most importantly, the thing that got this record the highest up is that any record that straight up references the I Wanna Be a Cowboy Baby vine has my respect. Good record. Love Buggin. Listen to Buggin. Also got a purple album cover.
Oh, nice. Oh, actually, I was to mention, the Voice Ceremony album I just talked about was purple. And this album I'm going to talk about now is also purple.
Let's get some more purple in this shit.
Anthronomicon by Ulthar.
Oh, what a record.
By extension, Helionomicon by Ulthar too.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a long-form companion piece.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, released on 20 Bucks Spin. I mentioned it before in our first episode. I said it was my favourite album of the year so far, and it's become my third favourite album of the year. Actually, the album that's at second actually did come out by the time we made our first episode, but I've switched them around since then. Lovecraftian, cosmic, black and death metal, wriggly-ass riffs from the United States. I've been stanning the band since their first album came out, but this is definitely their best work so far, and I think everyone would agree with me. Stand-up tracks, pretty much all of them, but a couple that I put down here were Fractional Fortresses and Saccadese Nuts. Yeah, just the whole thing, really. Like, it's just riff after riff of, like, good shit.
I love that record. I haven't listened to it enough for it to make my top 10, but I really like that Ulthar album.
Yeah, that's cool, though, because that's not really what you normally go for.
No, it's not. It's not. I'm not usually a blackened or, like, technical death kind of person, but I like my death metal stupid. But yeah, I thought it's just so good. The riffs are so compelling.
It's not stupid, it's wriggly.
It's very wriggly.
It's very high IQ and it's very wriggly.
IQ's not real.
Is it not?
Nah, it's not. It's kind of all pseudoscience. Fuck IQ tests.
Sounds like someone who got a bad IQ test.
Look, man, I'm really clever. Don't bully me. My number two is a similarly nutty and weird record, but it is not a metal record. It was also the album that I mentioned in our first episode. It is Scare in the Hose by JPEG Mafia and Danny Brown, which came out on Artists Without a Label. There are plenty of hip-hop records I love this year. The new Aesop Rock record, the Armand Hammer record, and even the Lil Sims record that came out late 2022, which I kind of count as coming out in 2023. But I can't get away from Scaring the Hose. It's the best produced record of the year. It's got some insane samples, some really funny bars, and just unabashed freak shit from front to back. As I've said, JPEG Mafia's production doesn't carry, but it is the centerpiece of this record. It goes from noisy and abrasive and bombastic on tracks like Lean Beef Patty, Stepper Pig, and Fentanyl Tester to like blissful and spacey and ambient on Orange Juice Jones and Kingdom Hearts Key. And then it does both of them at the same time on a 1 minute long track called Run the Jewels, which is like the song I would use to sell people on the kind of sounds that this record hits across the whole runtime. The wild production works so well with Danny Brown's like notoriously weird nasal vocal delivery, and that also contrasts fantastically with JPEG Mafia's like more confrontational kind of rapping delivery. It's a constantly surprising record. It's just nothing else this year has sounded anything like this. I think it's fantastic. I have been spinning this thing on repeat since it came out in like February or March. I love it. One thing has been on my rotation more than this. But that's for the next item on the list. What is your number two, Luke?
Well, my number two is the album Warlocks, Grim and Withered Hags by Hellripper, released on legendary label Peterbill. This is my favourite thrash-adjacent album from this year. They're probably my favourite modern thrash band currently going, and they're one of the UK's best just overall bands at the moment. But it's just one guy. Hellripper is just one guy. Big up James. Who'd have thought that Bagpipes, one of Black and Thrash song, would slap as hard as it does? I mean, you've got to bring the Scottish vibe somehow. But yeah, just the whole thing, like, you just find yourself headbanging the entire time. It's just like all energy the whole time. I've liked Hellripper for ages, but these songs are more sort of more like rounded. It's like they've got more going on. He's done some more creative things rather than just your typical Black and Thrash, which I do like. It's really cool. But like, he's done more stuff on this one.
Nice.
And it's a real improvement. Stand up tracks, the Nukola V, just like a opening track, sets a tone. Just one of the best thrash songs I've heard in ages. And the title track is really good. That's the one with the bagpipes on. Just the whole thing, really. I've seen them live twice before, but I haven't seen them since this album came out. So I'm looking forward to whenever that is. But yeah, Hellripper.
It's another record I haven't heard.
Oh.
I really need to give Hellripper a spin.
They're a band I rep every day because I have a Hellripper beanie.
Nice.
And in this weather, in England.
Oh, yeah.
That does come in handy.
for our international listeners, it's been fucking shocking here. It's cold and rainy and I hate it. Yeah, it's not the one.
So it keeps my ears happy in two ways.
Good. So, it's the number one.
Don't talk about Jeff Rosenstock.
Oh, fuck you. Yeah, it's Hell Mode by Jeff Rosenstock, which came out on Polyvinyl. This is not a surprise to anyone who knows me even vaguely. I do not shut up about this man. I think Hell Mode is possibly Jeff Rosenstock's cleanest and most polished record to date. I don't think it ever quite hits the heights of 2016's classic Worry, but it comes close, and that is as high praise as you can get out of me. It kind of treads the line between indie punk and pop punk, but I think it's a real disservice to Jeff's songwriting ability and versatility to kind of pin Hell Mode down as like a pop punk record, because I think it transcends that. It's a lot more mature and thoughtful and less annoying and misogynistic than I think pop punk probably denotes it as. From the beginning, it's a record that trades in contrasts. The opener is confessional, raw, emotional, blast beat backed, gradually crescendoing, Will You Still You, which like crashes through into the wailing drum machine driven scream of Head. It is a really tone setting opening. It's a 1-2 punch of grappling with self doubt and regret on one hand, and directionless anger at a political and economic system that constantly fails us and has abandoned us on the other. But it's not just chaos. There's tender sentimentality on Love Song Heel Mode, crowd-pleasing folk punk immaturity on Like You Better, and grungy slacker rock exploring kind of dry, stagnant rage at the state of the world on the very kind of Weezer-inspired Soft Living. It all culminates on my favourite song of the year, which is Three Summers. It is a 7-minute track with chorus is good enough to carry four, like chorus melody is good enough to carry four separate songs, which asks the repeated question, if I can't keep myself from freaking out, how am I going to live? Which I think resonated in a year that has all around been like a bit of a shit show. It's a record that's in conflict with itself. It's angry and it's tired. It's scared of growing older whilst still not really knowing what it's doing. And above all, it's a record that speaks to wanting to do anything to change how fucked everything is, but feeling completely powerless at the same time. I think that kind of messy desperation is pretty resonant at the moment, and Hell Mode was my album of the year. I love this thing. I could talk about it for days, but I'm going to shut up because, Luke, what is your number one album of the year?
Well, go on. What is my number one album of the year?
It's fucking Tomb Mold, isn't it?
Yep. The Enduring Spirit by Tomb Mold. Again, released on 20 Bucks Spin. Mm-hmm. Heard that a lot today. Yeah, they're one of my top favourite bands of recent years. Back from outer space, they call it Canada, with riffs. They're even wriggler than before, if you can imagine such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have really high expectations for this album. I mean, we've been waiting for it for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, yo, on a Monday, they were like, it's coming out on Friday this week. No singles, no anything. Because they're just so confident. They were just like, we know that everyone's going to love it, and we know that everyone's been waiting for it for ages. Like, we don't even be bothered to do any like hype or anything, because like, it's just already there anyway, so let's just drop it. And yeah, somehow it exceeded all those expectations. They just did it, you know? Because I really like Planetary Clairvoyance and Manner of Infinite Forms. They kind of released basically the same album.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 2 consecutive years. I mean, I like both of them. They're both really good. But this one's very different. I can see myself coming to love this even more than Planetary Clairvoyance in time, even though I've listened to that one like almost weekly since 2019.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, this one's here to stay in my repertoire.
It's like a beautiful death metal album, which I don't think happens really very much. It's like really blissed out and alien. I think it's the best alien death metal record of the year by a long way.
Yeah.
I love it.
100%. My favorite, I mean, all of it's amazing. Although I do have a favourite track, which was a clear favourite. My favourite track is Will of Whispers. But yeah, no, I've listened to it. It only came out in September, but I've listened to it, like, probably more than any of the albums on this list. Even some of them came right at the start of the year. Before it came out, I was like, it probably is going to be my favourite album of the year. And then when it did come out, I listened to it the first time, and I was like, yeah. They just seem to come over to the UK, because I haven't been here in ages. And, like, I started listening to Tomb Mold, like, a month after their last UK tour in 2019,
mm-hmm.
which is so annoying. But yeah, no, I've been standing them since Planetary Clairvoyance came out. Though I feel like they definitely deserve to be. I would, like, when I talk about legendary death metal bands, I'm always like Morbid Angel, Autopsy, fucking Entombed, etc., etc. I feel like Tomb Mold has gone up to my, like, top level of death metal now, even though they're like a modern band.
Mm-hmm. They'll definitely be one of the modern ones that, like, cements themselves for a very long time.
So yeah, Tomb Mold had to be my favourite album of the year.
Yeah, do we want to do some honourable mentions?
Yeah, we'll do some honourable... Blah, 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 blah. we're just going to list them, we're not going to talk about them. My honourable mentions are Mutants by Mutoid Man,
yeah.
The Perfume of Decay by Tiger Cub, Make Them Beg for Death by Dying Fetus, Shambalic Vibrations by Lunar Chamber, Entering the Gateways by Disguised Malignants, Vortex Oblivion by Desecryptor, and Lux Mort by Reverence to Paroxysm.
Nice.
These seven albums only narrowly missed out on the top 10. I actually had when I was making the top 10, I had like five albums, which include Zulu and Drain, and three of these. And I was like, which two of these can I promote to the top 10? And I was decided, it took me like 3 days to decide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, there was, I used to love Tiger Cub back in the day, way back, like in 2018, I was listening to Tiger Cub and I really liked them. There's another album on there that I really enjoyed as well. But yeah, no, those were some really solid honourable mentions. My honourable mentions are, I'm kind of stunned that some of these didn't make it onto my list, but I think it just came down to not having listened to them for as long or as much. Mine were Military Gun, Life Under the Gun, Drain's Living Proof, Pest Control's Don't Test the Pest, Spiritual Cramp by the band Spiritual Cramp, which is like an amazing, like, old school punk record. Go listen to that shit. No Love Lost by Year of the Knife, Unfurling Putridity by Cave Grave, which is one of the best, stupid, incredibly undiscovered, like, caveman death metal records of the year. Love Cave Grave. Maps by Billy Woods, and Integrated Tech Solutions by Aesop Rock. Those last two are two of the best hip-hop records of the year. I just haven't had enough time to sit with them. If I had to pick a favourite, I think that Aesop Rock record is really good. It's really accessible. It's got a really strong theme. I love it. Also, he did come out, like, 15 years before ASAP Rocky, and it's a really annoying thing that people are like, he's got a shit name because it sounds like this other dude. But yeah.
What's up, Ricky? Do you know who said that?
Who said that?
It was Liam Gallagher.
Fucking Liam.
So my kids listen to that What's Up, Ricky?
Oh my god, imagine being Liam Gallagher's kids. Do you want to do some EPs?
Sure. My first EP is Luminescent Bridge by Blood Incantation.
Nice.
Kind of have to mention these because they are my favourite band. Well, maybe Tomb Mold might be my favourite band now. Mm-hmm. But they have been my favourite band for the past few years, ever since 2019. One cosmic death metal track here. One ambient type track. Because their last album was an ambient album, Time Wave Zero. I didn't really like it because I don't really like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if they can juggle the two sides of their sound in this way, it will work really well. They do have, like, in Hidden History of the Human Race, they do have, like, a minute here and a minute there of, like, a kind of ambient-y kind of spacey sounds, mm-hmm. in between, like, in the middle of songs, which work really well. So, I mean, they can do both. And if they can mix it in a cool way. I feel like their next release will be really, really good.
Cool.
Over to you, Higgy. What's your first EP?
My first EP is massive style shift from anything that I've had on my list so far. It's Odie Lee's The Only Thing Worse Than a Woman Who Lies Is a Girl Who Will Tell Truths. It is a really delicate, skeletal, beautiful folk record. Odie Lee is amazing. Makes you feel like you're in a forest listening to like a little gnome play you beautiful songs. This EP's also got a little bit more grit on it. Sheep Song is like deliberately what Odie Lee calls like an ugly riff. I don't think it's that ugly. It's not ugly in the grand scheme of things. But it's a really good, really catchy, very feminist folk record. And it's beautiful. I loved it. Completely blindsided me this year.
Didn't expect to be talking about folk today.
No,
but here we are.
I'm a big folk boy at the moment, apparently.
Okay. Also something we probably didn't think we'd be talking about today. Sort of rave music.
Nice.
The EP Capricorn by Toki Horror.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's favourite queer rave punks. Just a fun time. I discovered them because they were supposed to play Damnation last year.
Mm-hmm.
They were supposed to like play like the after party, and I listened to them before and I was like, oh, this is pretty fun. I could definitely listen to this after some Kumba. I saw them live a few months ago. They're just like nice fun music. Up Paul O'Grady, fuck Paul McCartney. That's all I have to say.
Fair play. My next EP is, it's kind of a single, really. It's Fugitives, Blast Furnace, and Standoff. If you miss Power Trip, listen to Fugitive, because good God, Blast Furnace and Standoff are like so good. It is a couple of members of Power Trip and the vocalist of Scourge, who was also the guy, if you saw the video floating around on social media, who filled in for Riley when they played a tiny reunion of like playing five songs a couple of weeks ago. This thing is some of the best crossover thrash and thrash metal you will hear this year. It's a little bit chunkier and more directly aggressive than Power Trip used to be. It was slightly fatter riffs, slightly slower tempo, but Blast Furnace is just like, man, this song has been stuck in my head all year. It makes me want to chew through steel. I love Fugitive and I love this track.
I've also got some crossover thrash to talk about now.
Nice. Go ahead.
Endless Torment by Dead Heat.
Yes. What a fantastic EP.
Really good EP. I was aware of them before and I had listened to, I think, one of their albums before.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were alright, but like they didn't really like stick with me or anything. But then you were like, oh, like, you have to listen to this. And I did, and I was like, okay, this is actually sick.
Yeah.
I listened to it loads. I enjoyed it much more than anything they've put out so far.
Mm-hmm.
It even reminds me of like the Big Four bands at certain points. It's got a real 80s feel at points.
Really does.
You don't really hear much of these days because a lot of thrash is very, they call it pizza thrash.
Mm-hmm.
It's very like sterile,
mm-hmm,
and like kind of shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was listening to it and I was like, oh, this shit sounds like Metallica at certain points and Slayer at certain other points. And it just sounds like just crossover like with like hardcore tinged thrash. But yeah, Endless Torment by Dead Heat. Listen to it if you like thrash.
I love that Dead Heat EP. It was very close to getting onto my EPs. My next EP is for anyone who likes Title Fight, the new One Step Closer EP, Songs for the Willow. One Step Closer used to be a little bit more harsh and abrasive, kind of blurring the lines between like post-hardcore and hardcore and screamo, but like the good kinds of those things. This EP is a little bit softer. It's got a lot more melody on it. It really reminds me of Floral Green by Title Fight, which is one of my favourite albums of the 2010s. I think One Step Closer are really, really good. Great EP. Really interesting departure from them into a new sound. Loved it.
Nice. No, I'm almost certainly going to butcher the pronunciation of this. But what I want to talk about now is, it's a one-track EP, actually. It's 12 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Tosonot or something,
mm-hmm,
by Chahon. It's really good atmospheric black and death doom kind of thing, with a real ancient Mesoamerican vibe. The band's from Germany, though, so I don't know.
That's weird.
I don't know what possessed them to start doing that. But I mean, it sounds cool, so like,
mm-hmm,
fair play. I've listened to it quite a lot. It's just got a real like atmospheric vibe.
My next one is, again, it's kind of two singles that were released together. It is by probably the most I think this band have a bad reputation purely because of their fan base that they've accrued. It is Knocked Loose's Upon Lost Singles. Knocked Loose are one of the nastiest metalcore bands around at the moment. Every release they put out, they seem to get more and more like comically extreme. Like, the riffs are so abrasive and so crushing and dissonant. It's ridiculous. I love these two singles. The first track ends with the classic hardcore band thing of shouting your own name before a breakdown. And good God, this thing...
Like a Pokemon.
Yeah, like a Pokemon. They did the Pokemon thing. And then it just beats you to death. It's so good. They are not... I think they've got this reputation as like a... You know, like Warped Tour. Like that kind of scene. They're like, they kind of have the feel of like a Warped Tour band. But they have so much more substance to them than that. The EP they released a couple of years ago was excellent as well. I'm really excited for, I think, a full length coming in 2024. One of the best heavy bands around at the moment. And hey, look, if the kids like them, good. Because they're listening to some good shit.
Well, my final thing is, according to streaming stats, my most played song of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It's the song Dance the Night by Dua Lipa from the Barbie soundtrack.
I love that.
All I'm going to say is, what a queen.
It's a good song. And a good movie. I enjoyed Barbie. I have critical thoughts about it, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. I don't think I like it as much as most people do.
Yeah,
but,
me neither.
Wasn't the best film of the day, though.
No, look, this is not just because it's a boy thing, but I genuinely enjoyed Oppenheimer more. I thought that film slammed.
Oh, Oppenheimer is my second favourite film of the year.
That is really good. What was your favourite film?
I mean, I am a physicist, to be fair.
Yeah.
Every time a famous physicist would pop on the screen, I just point. Like the meme of Leonardo DiCaprio pointing. Yeah. I just like... I mean, you can't see what I'm doing right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, no, I can guess. What was your favourite film of the year?
Spider-Verse.
Nice. Fair.
And I've seen hella films this year. I've been to the cinema almost over 90 times.
I need to... Oh my God, that's insane.
We love that Odeon Limitless.
Nice. Fair play.
But anyway, that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah, my final one is, to prove I'm not a poser hosting this podcast, I do have a death metal release that has made it on. It is Maul's Desecration and Enchantment. It is
this was fun.
A massive, massive step up from Maul. It reminds me of like the step up from Undeath's EPs to Undeath's first record in terms of suddenly a band that are like good and sound like a fun, chunky, old school death metal throwback have suddenly like carved out a very distinctive sound and have played with longer song structures and made it really catchy and like bludgeoningly heavy at the same time. I think they just signed to 20 Bucks Spin, which is always a very good sign for any death metal band.
They did.
That is a really good sign. Some of the best death metal of the last 5 years has come out on that label, and hopefully I think they're gearing up for a full length release next year. I am really looking forward to it because Maul are absolutely insane, fantastic singles. But yeah, that concludes all of my list. There we go.
Yeah, that was also my first time not liking Maul, because I didn't dislike Maul, mm-hmm. but like the Purple album
mm-hmm.
that came out, I think it was it last year or was it the year before last?
I think it was last year.
Anyway, it's not important. That got a lot of positive mm-hmm. reaction, like... But I don't know, never really grabbed me in any kind of way. But these two songs, or however many songs on the EP, definitely my favourite from Maul so far. And I am looking forward to the new album, especially as it's on 20 Bucks Spin, which you can tell I like from what I said today.
Yeah. I thought the riff, some of the riffs on the last record were really good. Like Seraphic Punishment was one of my favorite songs of last year, but I don't think they fully stuck the whole length of the record, so it'll be really interesting to see how they do that on the next record. But yeah, that's all I've got. I think that's all we have time for this week.
That's
we're not
all,
done
folks.
That is all, folks. We're not done with rounding up things that we like from this year. We're going to do a slightly less conventional listy thing next week. So if you found this a little bit of a slog to listen to, don't worry. Firstly, shut up. Secondly, don't worry. We're going to have something that has some more creative categories next week. Yeah. But yeah.
Same time next week. We've got some fun questions, which should hopefully be get us thinking more than like, what's your favourite album of the year?
Yeah.
And what's your second and third and favourite album of the year? We've got like some more fun questions. And I'll tell you what we also could do is we could give our opinions on the other person's top 10 list. That could be fun.
That would be fun. Yeah, let's do that. Fuck it. Yeah, let's do that. Nice.
And then we'll do the other fun questions. Also, email us your album of the year lists.
Yeah.
Our email is theoutcrewpodcast@gmail.com.
It is. Send us emails. Comment on Instagram. Tell us things. We like hearing from you. It genuinely, not fucking around. It's nice hearing from people that listen to the podcast. We appreciate every single one of you. Right. I think that's it. I'm going to piss off. What are you going to do, Luke?
I'm going to piss.
Oh, no. On that note.
In my pants.
Goodbye, listener.